Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we will have a great Tchelus debate from Rabbi Yisrael Barkin, who's written much about Tchelus. We've had him on before. He's the author of Aroin Tchelus, and who is obviously pro-Tchelus, and Rabbi Shaul Shimon Deutsch. He's known as the Leonzer Rebbe. He's also the head of the Living Torah Museum, and he is in the camp that does not wear Tchelus. He sort of does not believe that this is the Tchelus that's brought in the Torah. And this should be really a fascinating debate. I just want to put on a disclaimer. I am a Tchelus wearer. I wear three different shittas of Tchelus at different times, not at the same time. So you may see me as a little bit of a biased moderator, and if I am, I admit so. So that's just a caveat on this discussion. We're on the air, Matzah Shabbos, from 11 to 12 midnight. On WMCA 570 AM, and we're also on the Nachum Segal Network, as well as Monday morning at 11, again on NachumSegal.com. You can find all our programs at HeadlinesTorah.com. That's one word, HeadlinesTorah.com, including all past shows, as well as Mara Makaimis on many of the shows, most of the recent, put together by our wonderful editor here, Yanky Berkowitz. We owe him a thanks. You can get all our programs on our hotline, 732-806-8700. You can listen to past programs. You can also leave messages. At the end of this program, we will be playing one or two of the messages, many as we have time to get to, and that should be interesting. You can email any questions to info@headlinesbook.com. That's info@headlinesbook.com. Okay, before we start, I would like to say something. First, I get many messages both in email and on the hotline, and one of the questions I says, they say, David, why do you interrupt a lot of your guests? Which it's true, and I'll tell you, before I started this, my background is not, you know, broadcasting. I actually hired a coach, and he said, I want to tell you something, Mr. Lichtenstein. The death of any program is when you have somebody who goes into a soliloquy, and he said a soliloquy is really a speech of more than 3 or 4 minutes. He says, your listeners will just fall asleep on you. People today have nanosecond attention spans. So he said, your goal is really to try to keep moving, question, answer. So I do apologize, and I do apologize for the many great rabbanim we have on, but I do it just sort of to make the Ayla more interested, so that Divrei Taira should be spread. It is not chas v'shalom, a lack of respect, etc. I'm just following sort of the protocol for how a program is supposed to be run. Before we start, I would like to say a small varta on the parsha. You know, this week it talks about, as Karboni Lachmi v'Ishai, talks about the carbon tamid of the Bein Aboiker, Bein Arboim, which really is, you know, has really transmutated into basically Shachris Mincha, the two Tamidim that we have, Shachris and Mincha. So there's a great Rashi there, and Rashi says over there, he says, you know, Hashem said to Moshe, fascinating Rashi, he says, first you came and you requested the request of Tzalafchad. They wanted their legacy established. Then you came and you asked me for your children. You said, I would like a Yerusha for my children or for Klal Yisrael, who will be the future leader. I need my requests fulfilled. And the last thing Hashem said, so now I want my requests fulfilled. The Tzavedi Albanai, tell my children, I need from you the carbon in the morning, the afternoon offering, and in our case, the tefillah of Shachris and Bein Arbaim. And I think there's an amazing thought here. Do you know that in the United States, it is now known as the United States of Prozac? And what does that mean? Depression rates are at an all-time high. Suicides nationally, the amount of Americans on Prozac is astounding. It's the most profitable drug in the world right now, a depression drug. Listen to this, Chazal. I have a solution, a possible solution. You know, there's a medrash. It's brought by the Maral in the Hagdamah to Nesiv Asylum, and it's also brought in the a much-discussed Chazal. And it says like this, Machlokes between four Tanaim. It says, Zeh Sefer told us, Adam, what is the most important klal in the Torah. Klal gadol b'Torah. So Ben Azai says it's b'tzelem aleichem asas adam. Man, he's made in the dmus of God. Rav Akiva says, no. The most important thing is v'hafta l'recha kamecha ze klal gadol b'Torah. All of Torah is about ben adam l'chaveri. You know, man treating others with dignity, etc. Gemara says, Benana says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Aleikeinu Hashem Echad. The unity, man, creation, the cosmos, all the unity, Hashem Aleikeinu Hashem Echad. Shimon ben Pazi says something astounding. Es hakeves ha'echa taseh babayker, ves hakeves ha'feini taseh bein harbayim. Bring the morning offering and the evening offering. That is the klal gadol b'Torah. That is the most important thing. Amdu al raglam, they stood up and they said, Shimon ben Pazi is correct. Now, isn't that strange? The most important thing in the world, es hakeves echad taseh babayker, ves hakeves ha'sheini taseh bein harbayim. What? Like tefillin, mezuzah, it says so many things. So I would suggest a solution with this Rashi. What is Rabbeinu Shalom saying? I created a vast cosmos. We've had scientists. They said the universe is unimaginably big, billions of light years across. It's there are megaverses, universe. There are galaxies, trillions of galaxies of unimaginable size. Rashi says, and what does Rabbeinu Shalom say? Tzaveini albanai, my tzairach. What does my tzairach? Hashem says, I created all of that so that a little yidla should daven shachris or mincha. When I'm standing there and I'm checking my messages, my emails by mincha, the entire cosmos, Hashem says, tzaveini albanai is what? That I should, that you, me, together, we should daven a mincha, a shachris, a carbon shol tamid of the baikir atzarah. That's the purpose of all of, that's why Hashem created all of this. So what did Shimon ben Pazi say? You know what's the greatest thing? The anti-depression? When all of this incredible megaverse was created, Hashem created it, just so that we could do a tiny little mitzvah, a tiny little davening with a little kavana. Look at the empowerment of how important we are. Look how ennobled we are by how does Yiddishkeit make each one of us so important and so great, all of us, planets, constellations. One davening is greater than all of that, is the purpose of all of that. So this is the United States of Prozac, because so many people walk around thinking, what am I here for? What am I doing? What's the purpose? What's the reason? One tefillah is the answer of everything. Hashem created all of you for one mitzvah, one carbon. I think that's what, well, if we could really believe this chazal, if we could take it into our hearts, we would never suffer another day of depression in our life if we realized how great and powerful every single one of us is. You know, I heard a story, and I may have said it before, that there was this kid, he went out, he was at risk. He got involved with drugs when he was a teenager, and he, bad group of friends, bad, you know, he was, you know, really bad drugs, the worst type of drugs, and he left home. And his mother used to call him, had a cell phone email, and he didn't come home maybe for 10 years. And one day he went clean, he straightened out. And he decided, you know what, I remember my mother loved me so much, I must go back, I haven't seen her in so many years. And he got a job, and he flipped some burgers or something, he got bought a bus ticket, and traveled all the way back home. He comes back to the house, he sees the light is on the front porch. It's at night, it's late at night already, the bus came at 11, and he walked from the bus stop at 12 midnight, maybe 1 in the morning, and he goes to the front door, he doesn't know, should I knock, wake my mom up, 1 o'clock in the morning, and then he has his hand on the thing, and he turns it, and the door is open. So he tiptoes in, he says, oh my goodness, maybe somebody broke in, maybe they killed the family, you know, you read terrible things in the newspapers. He tiptoes, he goes in, tiptoes up, and as he's tipping up the creaky steps, he hears a voice of his mother saying, who's there? Who's there? A scared voice. And he comes and he says, it's me, Mom. And his mother comes running out and hugs him and cries. And he says, Mom, I thought I got so scared. The door is open. And his mother looks at him and she says, Tabla, the door has been open for 10 years since you've gone. I was hoping any night, any special holy night, you would come in. That's why the door was open. So what does it tell us? Eskarbani lachmi, let's put away our iPhones, our cell phones, our whatever machshavas we have the next time we daven shacharis, the next time we daven mincha. All of the universe was created so that the Yitzay, ani mevakesh tzor chai kaviyachal, amitzaveini al banai, right? What's the klal gadol b'tayra? The klal gadol b'tayra is all of the universe was created for that one maisa mitzvah of me and you. Let's go telephone and our guests. We have with us on the phone from Brooklyn, New York, Rabbi Shaul Shemendeich. He's the director of the Living Torah Museum. And from Lakewood, New Jersey, Rabbi Yisrael Barkin, who's the co-author of the Sefer Levush Ha'aron on Tcheles. Welcome, Rabbi Deitch, Rabbi Barkin.
Great to be here.
Rabbi Deitch, could you start off by giving us a little bit of history of Tcheles and the issues that, you know, we're facing in front of us today?
Okay, so the Torah gives us one of the mitzvahs is that we should have, obviously, in Parsha Shlach, we should wear tzitzis with something called tcheles. Tcheles was something that was well known to the people of the ancient world, and they knew exactly where to get the tcheles from, what the chilazin was, and the Gemara mentions in Shevet Zvulun, once in 70 years, to the tops of the mountains of Shevet Zvulun come this creature, and they all come at the same time. They also knew how to get them and make the dam hachilazin into the color of tcheles. It was something that was well known, and then, as the Sefri tells us in Parsha Zayis HaBracha, as well as the Medrash Rabbah and Tanchumi in Parsha Shlach, at a certain point in Golos, usually we refer to it as in the time of the Geonim, it was Nignaz, it was put away. And it was put away for various reasons, as it's explained by the Arizal in Shara Kavanis, and as well as in Pri Eitz Chaim, that Bizman HaGolos, we have no right to wear tcheles because our bodies are not capable of absolutely wearing tcheles. And this is also echoed by a letter that was written by the not only the Arizal, he writes about this, but also the Ben Ish Chai gives a whole mystical explanation how Bizman HaGolos, we cannot wear tcheles. The Radzina Rebbe, Rabbi Lerner, started a major campaign of trying to identify the chilazin. He went to Naples, Italy. He found the creature, which he believed was the chilazin, which was called the cuttlefish. His shita was disproven. And the way it was disproven is that the Medrash tells us that the chilazin has a nartik, it has a shell. His creature did not have a shell. And as the Aruch HaShulchan and Hilchos Tzitzis Perek Simen Tes tells us, that the Chacham Echad wanted to bring back Tcheles. It was not niskabel by Gedolei Hador from his generation. The Chafetz Chaim, when he was shown the Radzina's Tcheles, he was a Koyin, said, Yichvolt nishtar angishtak man kop in the Hechel mit azat Tcheles. I would not stick my head into the Hechel with such a Tcheles. Afterwards, there was an attempt by Rav Herzog, who was later become the chief rabbi of Israel, to identify a kind of snail called the Jantina snail. It was shown to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He disproved it once again because Tosfos tells us that the chilazin has a special sac and which you get the dam hachilazin from, and this creature, the Jantina snail, did not have a separate sac, and therefore it doesn't fit in with that as well. And then about 20 years ago, a very popular new idea came out which basically tried to say that the Murex trunculus was the chilazin. And in this case, too, there became a lot of problems as well. Number one is a problem is that Rashi says that this creature comes out from Minaretz, from the ground, and not from the sea. there's a stira because Rashi in one place seems to imply that it's coming from the sea. So the Sefer HaKana explains that just like you have a creature that's a land creature, like a land snail, and you have a sea snail, the chilazin is the only creature which can go both on land and on sea. And therefore, this would be a problem for the murex, because the murex is obviously a creature that cannot live outside of water. It will die after 20 minutes. It cannot climb to the top of the mountains of Shevet Zvulun. There's another problem with the murex also, is that the Pnei Moshe and the Yerushalmi says it has gidim v'atzomos. It has sinews, and it has actual bones. And obviously the murex doesn't have any bones. It doesn't fit in with the Rambam either, because the Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis Perek Beis tells us that dam hachilosin is black kedyoi. It's black like ink. When you take out the murex, the color of the murex trunculus is colorless, and then it turns green and yellow, and then finally it turns blue. I've released two DVDs called The Mystery of Tchelis, where I take people scuba diving in the sea with all these creatures alive and show all the processes that's done. And for this reason, Gedolei Yisrael, as Rabbi Yashiv wrote in his famous letter, which I printed over in my book on Shmois, Rabbi Yashiv told me there's 17 rayos that the murex cannot be the Tchelis. And Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky said you could take the blood of a donkey and paint it blue, it's going to be make it blue, it's going to be exactly as good as the new Tchelis.
Okay, so to summarize, you say the questions you have is that it doesn't have Yidim Atzamos. It's ink, the Rambam says is black, and also it seems that it can live on land, whereas the Murex trunculus cannot live on land. I have one question for you before we go to Rabbi Barkin. Okay, the Tchelis that was brought to the times Chazal, is that the same Tchelis that the Goyim used, like when it said Chur Karpasu Tchelis by Achashverosh? Was it only used by the Jews, or was it used worldwide at that time, the Tchelis?
The Tchelis, some of it was and some of it wasn't. That's the point that I want to demonstrate. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar left certain people in Eretz Yisrael that were allowed to stay because he wanted that kind of Tchelis.
When it says Chur Karpasu Tchelis, what does it mean? That by the Suda of Achashverosh, they wore Chur Karpasu Tchelis. Mordechai Yatzel b'Vosh Tchelis. Is this the same Tchelis, or were there two Tchelis in that came from the sea in the times of the Mila?
Tchelises that came from the sea. Many tchelises that came from land. In my museum alone, I have garments made from murex. I have garments that are 2,000 years old made from jantina snails. I have garments that are made from many, many different creatures.
All blue, okay.
Or similar colors.
Very good. Rabbi Barkin, could you respond?
I just wanted to ask, was it a total falsehood? He doesn't have any garments made from jantina. Jantina doesn't make any dye and was never used.
Okay, Rabbi Barkin, could you respond to his point?
Yeah, I'll respond in order. I just wanted to point out that was a total falsehood. Okay, I'll take the points in order. Rabbi Deis likes quoting a Rashi in Menachos Mem Dal Menach that says that Chivazim is Oilu Min Ha'aretz, and he's saying that because there's other Rashis that say that it comes from the Yam, so it lives both on the land and in the sea, which happens to be the Murex lives much more than 20 minutes out of the water. We have one in our fish tank and lake with our pet Chivazim that lives plenty of time out of the ocean, so it's not really a problem. But I just want to point out this.
Wait, Rabbi Barkin, the one in your fish tank, is it a fish tank full of water, or is it a fish tank without water?
With water, but it climbs out sometimes to the top.
Aha, okay.
Okay. Now, there's five Rashis that say that the chilazin is in the water, in the dag. This Rashi that says that chilazin is oilam in ha'aretz, Rabbi Kiva Eger, on the side, is a hadigamara, changes the girsan Rashi to oil al ha'aretz, because it's clearly a Tov Sefer in Rashi, because there's five other Rashis that say that's Oilam and Hayam.
Where are the Rashis?
One is Rashi.
Tell us where the Rashis are.
Sabbath Tafayin Da'al Amud Beis, the Rasul Sadi Chivazin, Rashi says, Ruhu Kimin Dag Katon, Rashi Megil Dabav Amud Aleph says, Chivazin Oilam and Hayam Laharim, Rashi in Balmatsiya Dav Samach Aleph Amud Beis says that Kol Ilon is Tzavad as Doimut of Tchelis, but it's not like real Tchelis that comes from the Yam. Rashi in Sanhedrin, that's Tadi Alf Menalef, calls the Chilozim until Rashi Yotim in Ayam. Rashi in Kulam Petasim Menalef says the Chilozim in Ayam hu Oila. Now, many numerous other Rishonim say that the Chilozim is a fish-like creature. It could be a shellfish. To go around talking about this Rashi in Menachos Mem Dal Menalef, is a total shibush because Rabbi Akiva Eiger changes the gear. So, okay, next topic with Gidim Vat Samas. So there's a question, or as I just mentioned, that some of our Yerushalmi learned up to Yerushalmi that has Gidim Vat Samas. There's actually a question in the Yerushalmi if the Chivazan has Gidim Vat Samas. And some of our some learn in Maskana that it does, some that it doesn't. So the question is the Murek. Now it's clear that the Chivazan is a snail. There's many rais. We spoke about them. I spoke about them with you the other time. There's more rais that I didn't speak about, but there's the command. No one disagrees that the Chivazan is a snail, and the most you could stretch it to is to be a slug or something like that.
Okay, so let me ask Rabbi Deitch, I have a question. What's the downside of wearing it, and maybe you write to the mitzvah anyway?
Let's begin by saying a few important things. The number one, according to Rabbi Barkin, it's a Taos HaTfus of the Gemara in Rashi. He forgot about maybe someone called the Noida Behuda. Are we supposed to rip the Noida Behuda out of all our things? Because the Noida Behuda learns Pshat exactly as it's written. So for him to stand there, and this is the problem with all these Tchelis people. The problem is that they take and they twist and turn. The twisting turning is, very simply, the Noida Behuda learns Pshat and Rashi Kamoi Shehu. So they came along and they were trying to create an industry of called trying to get people to wear something that doesn't fit into everything that people are doing.
Tell us about the Noida Behuda and tell us
who wrote the
tshuva,
I want to know.
To say that it's a toss at first for everyone. This is a shaker. Everybody should open the Noida Behuda on this Gemara of Simon Gimel in the Noida Behuda. He learns Pshat and Rashi Kemoshehu, and for you to do that. Number one, I discussed the 17 Rais with Rabbi Eliashiv. He was masking with me. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky was by him the week of Erev Shavuos, repeated to me the line that Mekanem in the Blut for Nachamar, this Farben Bloy, the guy's name, Punkt, as I good. So to try to twist and turn, the point. The point is very simple, but don't try to say that it all fits in perfectly, because it doesn't.
Okay. Rabbi Barkins, you know the Noida Behuda he's referencing.
Yeah. Okay. So talking about if all fits in perfectly, I think that was our discussion the other week. I'm not trying to focus on that so much. Okay. There's a tshuva Noida Behuda. I was asking Rabbi Deitch, maybe I'm sorry for interjecting, who wrote this tshuva. Noida Behuda's name was Rabbi Cheskel Landau. He was a great Noida Behuda. We don't have to introduce him. This tshuva Rabbi Deitch is quoting Noida Behuda, Madur Tinyana, Simon Gimel, was not written by Noida Behuda. It's a tshuva interjected by his son. So it should be attributed properly. It's at the end of Shmuel. Lando, he was also a very great man, but to go around quoting as Noida Behuda is inaccurate. Second of all, I didn't change the Gerson Rashi, Rabbi Akiva Eiger changed the Gerson Rashi, the great Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Okay.
Yeah.
Shmuel Landau's Mesopic about Rashi because he brings the two Rashis. He brings one Rashi that says Yaisim Hayam. He brings two Rashis that say Oyla Min. He brings Rashi in Menachas that says it's Oyla Min Ha'aret, and he says it's an earthworm, it's not a dog mamish. And he brings the two other Rashis that say it comes from the Yam. Reb Shmuel Landau obviously didn't bring down the five Rashis I brought, which makes the case much stronger. And Reb Akiva Eiger might have known all these five Rashis, I'm assuming he did. And Reb Akiva Eiger had a much better case to change the Gersa and Rashi. I just want to add in one thing from Rebecca of Emden, who maintains the old Gersa and Rashi, Oyla Min Ha'aret, and he says it means from the Karka Hayam, the Aret under the Yam, which is the Metzius of the Murek that borrows itself under the Karka Hayam, and will come out from the Karka Yam.
Okay, Rabbi Deitch, what do you say?
First of all, when you're trying to say if something fits, it has to universally fit with everything. And this has been the problem with all, not only the Murek Shita of Tchelis, with all the Shitas of Tchelis. If you say a puzzle piece fits, if it fits on one side and it doesn't fit on the other side, that's a problem. He starts giving a whole tirade about Nignaz, does it mean for a day or a week? Everybody should open Shara Kavanas, Hilchas Sittis, Inyan Sittis from the Arizal. Open Priyetz Chai, Shara Tzitzis from the Arizal. Open the Ben Ish Chai. Open up the Mincha Salazar, what he wrote. Open up what the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rebbe Marshab, wrote to the Razina's son. Ain't Tchelis Bizman Azel. We learn it to mean that till Mashiach there's not going to be Tchelis. So the point is, you have to, if something fits, that would be one thing. But if something doesn't fit exactly, to tell people to go ahead and start wearing something, what's the problem? Even if it's the wrong tchelis, maybe we should wear all the tchelis. Maybe misafik. So this was addressed by the Rebbe Marshab and others, the Beis Halevi as well. The problem is that if you wear the wrong thing, you're being mevazi your tzitzis with something that's a creature that's tamei. When you have something that's the correct tzitzis, you can do that. The Beis Halevi went as far as to say that since we know that it was nignas, it cannot be any creature that we know of throughout history. The murex was something that was well known throughout history. The jantina snail was well known throughout history, as well as the cuttlefish. In my museum, I have artifacts with pictures of on coins as well as on oil lamps of murexes. I have pictures of items that are of the jantina snail and from the cuttlefish. So his pshat doesn't fit in, not with the Beis Halevi, doesn't fit in with the Ben Ish Chai, it doesn't fit in with everything. It's a trying to force an issue where he's going against Gedolei Yisrael from all the previous generations.
Okay.
So therefore, I'm not a person to, every person should speak to their Moir Hayra.
Okay.
I have no, let me just finish this point. Every person, Rabbi Barkin is a big Talmud Chacham. I have nothing personally against him. I have very good friends with people who wear Tchelis. I had long discussions with Rabelski, who himself wore the new Tchelis. I asked him, doesn't fit with Rashi, doesn't fit with this. And Rabelski told me, I can't think of another solution. So I once said to him, when he used to visit my museum constantly, I once said to him, so what about the fact that it was Nignas? He says, let's change the subject. He didn't want to talk about it.
So Rabbi Barkin, could you respond?
Yeah, I hope I got all these nukudas straight. I'll try to take them one at a time. I'll first take on the thing with Rabelski. Rabelski, the late great Gadol and Plesik, was my dear uncle, and I knew him very closely, possibly better than Rabbi Deutsch knew him. Rabelski, I heard from him that he says, that many Talmidim heard from him, that the Murex is 100% for sure the Tcheles. Okay, now if Rabelski said it doesn't fit with Rashi, I can't believe that story, because I'm sure Rabelski knew all these other Rashis. It's not an earthworm. Now, did Rabbi Deutsch ask Rabelski that how does it fit with the Sifri? So Rabbi Deutsch mentioned this once in the Shirin Pasek, that he asked Rabelski, what about the Sifri and the Nignas? And Rabelski didn't have what to answer. So this was about 2 years ago. I was very bothered by that, and I called up Rabelski, and I said that, Uncle, there's people going around saying that you were a chayzer, you didn't have what to answer about the Sifri. So he said, no, it's just like when they went to the Satmar Rebbe with a contrast about the Erev, and the Satmar Rebbe smiled, so they went around after saying that the Satmar Rebbe held the Erev. Now, I want to just touch on the Arizal. The Arizal says that we don't have tchelos from the time of the Chorban, so Akarcha cannot be learned kipshuta because they had it for many hundreds of years after the Chorban. So it's minei ubei muchrach, it's not a question, it's minei ubei muchrach that the Arizal meant that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash is the main time for tchelos, and you have to have tchelos during the time of the Chorban. It's not muchrach if there's tchelos or not. Some years there is tchelos, and some years there's no tchelos, and just like many years after the Bais Rishon for 300 years, after Bais Sheni, they had Tcheles at certain points because they were so close to the Beis HaMikdash. So now that we're much, much closer than 300 years to the Bais Shlishi, obviously it's possible to have Tcheles according to the Arizal. I want to bring out a halachic point over here that, you know, we're quoting the Arizal and Ben Shchai and Soidis. I just want to say, beside the Maltovi Nafshi, we go to Sifrei Halacha. The Shal Shuvas Maril says that Tcheles could come back any time. It could be reintroduced into Halacha, Ardei Simonim. The Levush writes that Pesayrish. He says that he called the Sefer Levush HaTcheles because just like a person's Chai Lubash Tcheles B'chol Yoimim Yimsa Kach Chai Vodum Mahabash Asma Beil Ardinim, you have to know the whole Erech Chaim just like you have to know Tcheles. It's interesting. He makes like Tcheles the Iker. But El Tamid says it could come back any time. The Chem de Shloimei, the Bersav Ram, they write they could come back any time with Simonim and so on with other Echorinim, the Dubna Magad. The Beis Halevi was never quoted in any source at all saying anything about being Mevazet Tzitzis with the Davar Tameh. And the Rebbe Rashab's Ksavim I'm not very familiar with. Just I know that a friend of mine showed me a quote from the Rashab from one of his letters that he writes a lesson like this that I'll read to you. Gam zoyf I efshar loymer de mishum zeh yi potar mi mitzvah tcheos de vada he mitzvah temidah suk shiesh bichol teinu l'kaimo nirah she'onu tzrichim l'kaimo. So I don't know so much, I'm not so familiar with the Rashab's Ksavim. But I would say that any objections that were given in the time of the Reziner have to be taken in context of what was going on by the Reziner, that the Raya's were not so strong and were very weak. They were just simonim the way the Reziner understood them, and he had all rights to. He was a great Talmud Chacham, but other Gedolim didn't see these Raya's to be so strong, and they didn't take it so seriously. But now where the Raya's are much stronger, it's accepted by many, many great Rabbanim. We're Tcheles Betzin. I've been involved in Tcheles in years. I know of so many great Rosh Hashivas and Chassidish Rebbes and Sardis for Gedolim from this door and one that Asher in Enui Tonoyim, they've passed away already. Besides for Rabowski, my uncle, that's how that were Tcheos and weird Tcheos, many hundreds of tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Yidden accept as Tcheos, some as a Vade and some as a Sophic. To just say that it's nothing would be a bit bizarre and tired to them.
Rabbi Deutsch, what else would you say?
Rabbi Yashiv was considered by everybody to be the Poisek Hadar. And when I was writing my book on Shemois, Rabbi Yashiv handed me a letter. I want to just read the last section of the letter. I'll actually translate it because I won't read the Hebrew. And he basically says that the Yeshua's Malkai has already shown about the previous Tchelis that they weren't there, it wasn't correctly. The other Tchelis that was found wasn't correct. And what's going to be with the new Tchelis, this was a letter he wrote to Rav Feivel Cohen 20 years ago. And he says, even with the Radzina's Taina, that Lechaira, it's a Safik Daraisa. Sveika Daraisa is Lechumra. Why aren't we wearing this? And Rabbi Yashiv says, because there's open rias that this doesn't fit exactly. And if something does not fit exactly, therefore we should follow not wearing Tchelis Bizman Hazeh. So he can go around saying hundreds of thousands of people and millions of people and all of the stories. The question is, a very simple question. Does anybody today want to get involved, as the Rabbi Yashiv says, Mi achriya bin Rashi la Rambam, whether you're allowed to add spices or not to add spices? So Rabbi Yashiv ends his letter by saying that in Bidereinu, therefore he concludes, we should not wear Tchelis. So he's not familiar with the Rebbe Mashab Svarim very conveniently, so I would suggest that you buy an Igros Kodesh from the Mashab. They're available all over. You can look it up at the letter
right.
Yourself. He writes
Rabbi,
it. As far as the Beis Halevi...
Rabbi, before, I have tshuva in front of you. Is that the tshuva to Rav Feivel Cohen from Shimon Zayin?
Correct. Rabbi Yashiv handed me the letter.
But where does he say...
Farsim.
Where does he say... Where does he say not to read it? I don't see that in the tshuva. Could you point out that where it says in the tshuva?
Anyone can look it up in my book. I didn't prepare
it. I have the tshuva in front
right.
of me.
What is he,
I'm looking
read,
at
read
it.
Read the last two paragraphs.
The last, of a hagoyed mikutna, that's the Yeshua's Malkar, b'shila kutna, right? The kvar huchzik esu yisrol ziyesemi, elef shana shenignez atcheles, upasha lashin asifri parshis, bracho midrashoi, right, Uprimigadim Shamalamach and Sasavakadish Barhu, Ulavushe Kikalaki Alkaim, Yasta Talos Fatsis Lavanim. He says according to the Primigadim,
Yasta Talos Fatsis Lavanim, that's what he said. Yeah, and he says it's 1,000 years. Not like Rabbi Barkin says that it was Nignas for 24 hours. Not like Rabbi Barkin says he's quoting the Yeshua's Malkai, which is telling you it's Nignas 1,000 years, not overnight, Rabbi Barkin.
So can I just I'm just curious.
Yes.
So is your position that since you have the Ben Ish Chai and the Rebbe, the Rashab, and a number of other very great luminaries,
Menchas Elazar,
who say it was Nignaz, even if we absolutely 100% found that you're saying we should not use it because La Halacha was Nignaz,
it cannot be one of those things because the Beis Halevi says if it's Nignaz, it will not be discovered till Mashiach will come. It's
wait,
very
Beis Halevi doesn't. Wait, the Beis Halevi doesn't.
The Beis Halevi
is
clear. Yeah, he's very clear. He says it cannot be a creature that was known to us through the generation. So the Murex can't be that.
But wait, but the Murex snail, from what I understand, the process of how to turn it blue was newly discovered in the last 40 years or 50 years. For 1,000 years, even the Gaim didn't know how to turn Murex snail blue.
What does turning it blue have to do with the Dam Achilas and his Dam Ekidioi, that it's black? Well, the reason you wear black stripes, you know why you wear black stripes on your talus? Zeichel Adam Achilasin. It's not. It doesn't fit.
Everybody agrees that it's similar akia, that the Tchelis is supposed to be blue. So if for 1,000 years in the world it was law, the basis, right? It's not Zayma. The Beis Halevi's point is that the cuttlefish has been around for the last 1,000 years. If we didn't use it, we have a Messiah against it. But the Chazin, the process was lost even by the Goyim, was just recently found. So we don't have a Messiah against it, because all the Rishonim, Achronim, didn't use it because they didn't have the process. The Selech doesn't say on a fish that it newly discovered the process that there would be a fire against it.
We cannot say that this was something that was known. That it is not the right thing. That's what the Beis Halevi, this is a direct quote, what the Beis Halevi is saying.
I understand that he's referring to cuttlefish, which we knew was around for 2,000 years, whereas the Murek snail, the process, was lost for 1,000 years. So pointing to the Beis Halevi is irrelevant to the Murek snail. That's what I believe a bargain is saying.
It's not what he's saying, and that's the point. It's nothing to do with process. He's saying that it was known to us, and it was not accepted, and that's why it's considered to us to be a Mesorah Maviseinu Vavois Aviseinu. It's not nothing to do with processes. It has to do with the creature. If a creature was Nignas, we're not talking about a process. We're saying that the Chilazin was Nignas. Usvune Tmune Chol. The chilazin was nignas, not a process.
So basically, if Eliyahu Hanavi came and said, he said, look, I don't care who you are, it was nignas. Let me ask you a question. If tilin, if it was a sefri that say tilin were nignas, if somebody found the pair of tilin, would we stop putting on tilin? Matzah. Would we stop putting on matzah, smila, Shabbos? Like, is it some new halacha that if the sefri that says something is nignas, we take one of the mitzvahs out of the Torah and we obliterate it? Like, would we stop doing mila if there was a sefri that say mila was nignas?
Well, I cannot talk in hypotheticals, but I can tell you in reality. There is a difference when something is a mitzvah in the Torah that is something that we don't know which one is right or which one is not right. For example, there's a machloikis, what's the shear of a litra? Lamed yutes resh. It's a measurement in halacha. So there's an opinion of Rashi, there's opinion of the Rif, and there's opinion of the Rambam. And it was something that was lost over time, and we didn't know exactly what the shear of a litra was. Okay, so for example, and you could say it makes a difference in halacha too. For example, a person who's a ben sarer meyer who steals from his parents and he buys meat and he buys a litra shabasa, he's a ben sarer, a tartima shabasa is a ben sarer meyer. Yerushalmi says a tartima is a half a litra. Okay, so maybe you'll say Ben Sarah Murray didn't exist. Okay, so that's not a good example. But you have another example. A person wants to make an Erev using Yerukas, vegetables. He has to use a litra shel Yerukas, a litra of vegetables. There it's Negei LaHalacha. So we have a share from the Rambam who says it's 154.7 grams. We have a share, 148.7 grams. We have a share from the Rashi. Rashi says it's 354. We have a share of the Rif that says 420. There's obviously a big difference between 420 and 148.7. Well, many times Gedal Yisrael asked me if there is any museum or any ancient litra that has been found. And guess what? Yom Echad, there was one that was discovered. I brought it to Rabbi Yashiv. There's pictures of it in my book on Chumash Bereishis and the Hagdama. And I showed it to Rabbi Yashiv. And Rabbi Yashiv said to me, Tzimir das negeh al halacha tzipaskin in the shir fin ha'erev. So I asked him, Yivol gipaskin mit gifunin ha'antik? You would paskin with finding an antique? So he told me, the Midnish Givus to say that Aparshis and Tfilin Virashi Dremnetam, when they weren't sure which is the order that it was correct, they found Tfilin like Rashi and the Paskin is like Rashi. So there are times that we will use a discovery of something that was unknown between different Shitas will follow something that was found.
What Rabbi Deutsch is referring to is the Beis Yosef believe in Simon Lamed Beis. That in the Machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, they found Nafal, they found the pair of old tefillin by the caver of Yecheskel Hanavi, I think it was Yecheskel, and it was Kishitas Rashi and the Rambam, and based on that, the Beis Yosef says we should use those tefillin. That is what Rabbi Yosef is referring to. Continue.
That is correct. That is correct. So there are times when there will be something that we find according to an opinion, and we totally don't know what to do in that situation. Therefore, we will accept that and paskin it. That's a far cry for where a situation where the things do not fit in completely. Let me tell you something. If they found Cheles, they found the creature that had Gidim and Atzamas, and they found that and it fit in with all the Shittas, and they found everything to do. The Aruch writes that in his time, he still knew how to catch a chilazin. He knew how to catch it. And very simply saying, we find certain goyim had it, certain goyim didn't have it. So there was things that was available to Yechidim that were not available for the masses. So there's a distinction also, which I didn't mention in response to what Rabbi Barkin said before. There's a difference of something that was available to everybody or only Yechidim have it. Therefore, there is something to be said for if something is not clearly known or fits in with every shita, then it cannot be accepted to start doing something that doesn't fit. And I think that
that is the reason why
most Gedolei Yisrael didn't accept. Why didn't they start wearing? Why didn't the Chofetz Chaim just say, you know what? Why not? Let's just start wearing the Razin the Tchilas. Why didn't he just start wearing the Jantina snail? You know why not? It was never done that way.
Rabbi Zeitz, I want to ask you a question. Rabbi Barkin,
sure.
I apologize. I would go back to you, but I have two questions. The first question is, Rashi clearly says it's Telas. He says Telas, and Rashi says Telas.
All right.
I don't know. Does the worm have Gidin Vatsamais?
Some do. And here's my point. When you say what is it referring to? Snails are also that have a nartic are also considered a telas. Therefore, there's an interesting thing as well where we even find that it's almost like a kind of coral that's also mentioned, that it's similar to a kind of coral. So we see
now,
there's
also, Rabbi Deitch, there is a maril in Siman Lamed Beis.
Right.
But the Maril says clearly that if they would find a Tchelas, they would use it. And the Maril lived in Germany 500 years ago, or 400 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly this whole concept of it's Nignaz, and since it's Nignaz, we never do the mitzvah again. The Maril was the greatest Pesach for Ashkenazic Jewry, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Ramah, most of his Sakh comes from the... So the Maril rejects this whole concept of, since it is a Chazal or a Zoyar, that it's, or a Ari, that it's Nignaz, we shouldn't use it. I mean, the Maril is a halachic source. It's not a Kabbalah Zedekah source.
Mm-hmm.
So there is precedence among the greatest of the Paiskim to reject this, but I'm sort of, Rabbi Barkin, what would you say? Let's have some closing remarks, Rabbi Barkin. Give us some closing remarks.
Let me just quickly answer back, like he said, like 10 points now. So just one thing is that it doesn't say in any source, no reason, no Achim, that the black stripes in his house are Zeichel Dam Chilazin. There is no Aruch that says he knew how to catch the Chilazin. The Gidim Bar Thomas Israel, right, dealt with them. Yurks have Gidim Bar Thomas in a certain Eifen, and you could see the Vosha Aaron. Rabbi Yashiv does not bring riots against the Chilazin, like Rabbi Deutsch says. The Beis HaLevi, when he speaks about the issue of constant Messiah on something, that it's the wrong thing, says clearly that if you forgot in that place, he says clearly, that if the way of Tzviya even got forgotten, then it already satisfies his requirements. The Chofetz Chaim did not put on the Redeemer's Chaos because it had absolutely no riots. This one has riots. Rabbi Yashiv says Beferish in that letter, which does not need to be handed over to anyone because it's published already in Kaibis Chuvas and in Halichas Soda. He says that he doesn't know a lot of the Matthias of it. My closing remarks are that the Murek's Purpura snail was mentioned by many Gedolei HaChoinim, the Shilti Gibayim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Rabbi Shan Shafal Hertz writes at Beferish in his Chumash in German that the Chilazin is the Purpura snack. If someone wants to know if it fits with everything or doesn't fit with everything, so Rabbi Deutsch already just said B'Shem Rabbi Yashiv that even if there's a Mechleikus about something, you could use the Matthias to be Mechriya, so we could use, accordingly, we could use the Matthias to be Mechriya between questions of the Rishonim, according to Rabbi Yashiv, as Rabbi Deutsch is saying. So over here, we don't even have to deal with that because everything basically fits anyways, so we don't have to Mechriya too much. We have to Mechriya a little bit, maybe if it's a wife blood or if it's a misguided pocket blood or not the wife blood, is a question of the Rishonim, so Rabbi Yashiv is saying, according to Rabbi Deutsch, that we could use the Matthias to be Mechriya, so I guess we're all set. You might have said a lot of other comments here, but, you know, I can't remember all the 15 things that went down over here.
Rabbi Deutsch, how would you say clothing?
Anyone who wants to wear tchelis should speak to their local Moira Hira and decide whether or not the tchelis is good for them or not good for them. As far as the Indian is concerned, it's very clear that this is not something that if Mishi Yeshle Daite Shafui and who looks into something and looks in for V'chakarta V'darashta Heitev, we didn't even mention a Mishnah Mesechtes Kalim that doesn't fit in with the Chilazon the way he's describing.
Okay,
and other
okay.
things, but I'm not going to even get into all of that now. Everyone who wants to really consider wearing this, whether to be mekabel themselves to wear tchelis. There are a lot of great people who have put on this new tchelis. But if you ask me, again, in my museum, I represent all shitas. Someone comes and asks me about tchelis, I show them a Jantina snail, I show them a murex, I show them a cuttlefish, I show them the new, there's a new shita in Eretz Yisrael called the horseshoe crab. A fourth shita has come out in Eretz Yisrael, which has also been disproven. But that, we're not even going to get into the horseshoe crab today. But the bottom line is, that has blue blood. We're not even going to go into it. Somebody who really wants to look on what to do in such a situation, speak to your local Moira Ra. Again, I have nothing against Rabbi Barkin. The fact that he insulted me, that I made up Makaris, we're not. I machel him publicly. Machelach, machelach, machelach. I wish you a lot of atzlacha. And if anyone wants to see all these creatures alive, you're more than welcome to visit the Living Torah Museum. I'll be glad to show you, to talk about it. And again, my position is to show all opinions on every single subject. You ask me my own position, why this will not be accepted by most of Klal Yisrael, which is the Hasidish Olam. For all those who follow, Chabad is not going to accept this because of the Rebbe Mashab. Those who are following the Beis Halevi are not going to accept the new Tchelis. Those who are following other people are not going to accept it. So the point is, everybody should speak to their local Moira Hira. My discussion here today was just about the Indian and not trying to insult anyone personally, but anyone should look into it for themselves, and if you want to see it...
Thank you very much, Rabbi Deutsch. Thank you very much. Rabbi Barkin?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the magenta snail, as well as the... that he's referring to...
The jantana.
Tell us a little bit about the jantana and the horseshoe snail. Give
yes,
us like a two-minute...
I just want to include about the Mishnah and Kalim. There's a Mishnah and Kalim that speaks about a chilazon thing that's at the end of a chain, and the Rambam Perish Mishnayah says that you have a shell-like object, and the Aruch says also that you have that it's something that's mukaf, which seems to be, which possibly could refer to a snail. It doesn't say none of the Rishonim learn in any way that doesn't fit with the Murex, so I think the Rambam concurs with that. Rabbi Deutsch, when he said it doesn't fit with the Mishnah and Kalim, was coming from the Radina Rebbe that said an upshad in the Mishnah that has many hooks coming out of its head, but it's an upshad in the Mishnah which is based partially on the Tefarsi straw, but as I was saying...
Tell us about these two.
I just wanted to clear up the Mishnah and Kalim issue.
Okay.
The other snail, the Jansen snail, was saying that Rav Herzog, when he worked on the issue of the Tchelis, most of his research was researching about the Murex trunculus because he thought that that would be the most probable thing, but he wasn't able to get a blue dye from it, and there were other objections that he had, which have been answered these days. He didn't see the shell to be considered daimel yamin. He had issues with oilach l'shevim shana. So because of that, he said, even though it makes so much sense, the Murex would be the chivazin, he, you know, raised his hands in despair that it doesn't really fit in ways that I'm saying that we've answered these days. So he threw another suggestion called the jantana snail, which floats on top of the water. It's a beautiful like purple blue shell. So it fits with the most simple description of Gufa Dima Liam, and Rav Herzog thought that might be an idea. Rav Herzog never tried out with it. Lamai says that any chemist that dealt with it said that the thing doesn't have anything in it that's Roy Litzvio. You can't be severe with it. The horseshoe crab is just some idea that someone threw out and printed in some klevet somewhere. There was never anything brought up in any serious forum, so I don't think that should be discussed even. But the jantana was brought up by a serious rav. Now, lemaisa, indigo is a better candidate for the chilazon than all these other things.
Yeah, but that's kalila.
Yeah, I know, but the reason it's a better candidate because at least it can make a blue color, and all these things have nothing to do with it. They're not tzlizim. Just because it has blue blood doesn't mean it's tzveh. So, of course, indigo is not the tzveh.
So Rabbi Barkin, in conclusion...
They're not tzveh, they're nothing.
Rabbi Barkin,
the only sea creature that's tzveh.
Rabbi Barkin, in conclusion, to you, is it like what percentage chance that the Murex is real trailers? Is it 10%, 20, 50? How strong do you feel this?
98, 99%.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Barkin. It's been a pleasure having you
on
with us. So 2 weeks ago, we had Rabbi Aaron Cutler on the radio, and we discussed, you know, a very painful situation that's going on in his community. And among it, I just mentioned the Chacham Tzvi. I said, you know, Gezel Akum is an Issa D'Oraisa. And according to the Chacham Tzvi, it makes one Pasul Eidus. So I said, I wonder if people are aware of the chaimer of it, and if maybe perhaps somebody did a kiddushin and they had an aide who was over on Gezel Akum, he would have to redo the kiddushin, or on a ksuba, he'd have to redo the ksuba. I said it's a possibility. You know, it's certainly something to be concerned about. We have a Chacham Tzvi was, you know, was certainly one of the greatest achrayim, right, father of Rabbi Yankov Emden, whatever, you know, the paisik adoyer of his generation. And I didn't see anybody who argues on it. Now I do want to make it clear, we don't know what happened, nor can we say with any definity that people will be found guilty, etc. So it's just a response to the news. We are certainly not convicting anybody. It's not my job, chas v'shalom, ever. This is just a Torah program. But on the tzad, on the possibility, on, you know, assuming that the government is right here, I threw out that question, and I got the following voicemail, and I think it's worth listening to. This is a, you know, courteous, intelligent, right? And I'd like to respond to it.
Hello, thank you for this week's show. I enjoyed it from the Cutler. I had one point, I was just thinking on that what you mentioned, that there's a concern that these people, even were it to be that they're guilty, I should say were it to be that they're actually guilty, there's a concern that they're possible edos. It seems as if a Gemara in Sanhedrin Hachlofot was overlooked. A Gemara which is Paskin and Rambam and Hachot Eidos and Shulchan Aruch and Hachot Eidos and Siman Mamad Dalet, that the only time a person is possible Eidos, even if he does have Erda Yaiso, it's only if he's amazing. If he's a Shrigig or if he's Meir Heter, he is not possible Eidos. Besides for the fact that at least Mitan Gezel, it is also incorrect to call this Gezel. This is not an issue of Gezel Akum. This is an issue of Mata Akum, which is a big machlokes rishonim. Mata is mutter or osur, and the Ar Mekilim, and it seems that the minig throughout the Doiris was to be Mekilon, Mata Akum, although the Be'er HaGoyva says that one should be Machmir, it seems that the minig was to be Mekil. Now, obviously, if it's Polidechel Hashem, obviously it's a problem. But Al Kapan, that which you call the Gezel, is incorrect. It is not an issue of Gezel, it's an issue of Mata, which there are sources to be Mater, Mata Akum. Either way, it's Pasha to Pasha that any person does such a thing. Even if they do it, they're not Nezidim. They're Shegeg or Aymer Mutter. And therefore, there's absolutely no concern that they're possible Eidos, they're Kosher Eidos, and there's no reason why anyone who used them as a Kedushin has to Chas v'Shalom be a fatrik or ki who's there, and anything that they're made on, and they remain kosher v'ezos l'chol d'over Shabbataya. I look forward to a response from this, because I think this is something that could very much mislead people, and very much be mighty laws on people, and something which is incorrect. So I hope you could respond to this.
So, let's respond to this caller's voicemail. First of all, I would like to say that he makes a number of points. Point one is he says that a Mata Akum does not have a din of Gezel. There's 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, well, maybe we hold the other day. So this is just, I believe, a mistake, because if you look at the Shach on the side, he brings the Yamshel Shloimeh and Baba Kama in Simen Chaf, and the Yamshel Shloimeh explains, how could a Mata Akum be Mutter? He says, if Gezel Akum is us, why would be Bamata to take money away be any different? And the Marshal explains that the Rashi, which is the Makayr of the Shita that says Mata Akum's Mata, that's the Makayr of the other Tzad in the Shulchan Aruch, is because it remains like Hashkla's Halva. He says, if somebody doesn't say pay the Meches, he doesn't pay a Halva, and he's Moshe Chachefet, and he's Mata in the payment, he says it just remains Hashkla's Halva. Rashi holds by mekach umemka or mechas, it's not gezela because it's just havkas alos. I have paid something. I have not paid a debt that I owe. But he says most certainly to be matet, to take something, he says even Rashi would agree that that is gezel. Shachar al gabi lavan, a black and white yamshel shleima. The shach brings just doesn't bring the entire. He just mentions the yamshel shleima. If you look at the yamshel shleima, it's in perek of Siri of Baba Kama. It's Simon Chaf, and he says it just very, very clearly, and it's very logical what he says. So first of all, even if you hold like those shittas, the other side of the Torah that matas muta, in this case, it certainly wouldn't be muta, not being mechadish. I'm just saying over in marshal. To my knowledge, nobody argues on the shah on this marshal. Now, additionally, he says that it's I'm a mutter or shaygeg, and I don't know, when somebody is over on Gezel and they sign under the oath of perjury, I declare this to be true, I don't know, is that really I'm a mutter? I don't know, it could be, I don't know. I don't respond, I put it out there, a question. I would like to ask this very intelligent Yungaman a question. So it could be I'm a mutter, it could be shaygeg, it could be like the Sad in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe you'll even find somebody who argues on the Marshal. I didn't see anybody. I just looked at the Shach. So we have like a tzad of a few tzadim, maybe that. I want to ask you a question. Imagine that you went to a Sheva Brachas in a restaurant. You were invited. You were invited. And afterwards, the guy comes over and he says, you know, it was very funny. He says, the Mashgiach didn't show up. So the chef is an Yehudi. And by accident, he brought his pot and he cooked the chicken in a trefa pot. And the cheesecake that he served, he was supposed to serve parva cheesecake. Since the Mashiach wasn't here, A, he used the trefa pot, B, the Mashiach didn't turn on the fire, and he put cheese in the cheesecake, and he served you. You're the younger man who called and he served you. So the guy would say, what do you mean he served me? It's trefa. Wait, it's treif. It's bishul akum, it's gvina, it's basa b'chala midrabana, and it's... So wait. There's a shita in the paiskim that a restaurant is not bishul akum. The kli is treif? Wait. Certainly we say, stam kelemein v'nei yayman. It's nice and tam lefgam, very possibly, because he served something, shellfish, it doesn't mix well with the chicken, so it's nice and tam lefgam, so you have another suffix, fekfeh, right? As far as the cheesecake afterwards, you know, there's a sheet of the Ritva and Oit Kama that on chicken, there's no shayla of gvina after chicken, that it's mutter. So I have Kama sheetis. I have the sheetis that there's no bishalakam. I have the sheetis of Estam Kelemein and B'nai Yayman. So therefore, the chicken that you ate by Eina Yehudi's cook in a treifa pot, followed by the cheesecake, I have all sheetis that it's mutter. Boy, is there something wrong with that? You say, what are you, crazy? You should have told me this. Well, I wouldn't have eaten. I wouldn't eat in a treifa restaurant with treifa kelim to be saimach ad stam kelim eina b'diyayman. I think that's what you would answer. Otherwise, honestly, that's what... we could start eating at treifa restaurants with all these kekulas, right? So I ask you, a guy gets married. He could live, according to the Chacham Tzvi, he should live till 120 for the next heaven knows how many years, and he's leaving Issa for the next 60 or 70 years. So we have something. Maybe when he signed, he didn't know. Maybe the tour. Maybe there's somebody who argues in the Marshal, so we'll concoct some type of... Would you eat in that restaurant? Would you want this person? Now, that's one-time achila. This is every time. So I would just respond. You know, there's a word from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. He says, Niplana b'yad adam uv'yad Hashem alapoyla. In other words, fakert. That, you know, unfortunately, we're much more mekel in dvarim of gezel, even though they're much more chomer, it could come out of certainly in the case of it, than we are in machalas. So I would just ask you, would you eat it? Would you feel bad having eaten at that Sheva Brachas? And that would sort of be my response, you know, both halachically and hashkafically to your question. Enjoyed this program. Remember, go out and buy Headlines 2. It's the most fascinating English halacha sefer. You will buy this year. It will make you one of the more interesting people at the table. A wonderful week.